the human being, the insan, his deen, his way of life, the biggest disturbance that is created is due to the waswasa, due to the whisper, the thoughts, the whispering and the thoughts. Now the whispering or thoughts, they come from two angles, two directions. One is shaitan, devil, who creates and instills whispers into a person's heart and thoughts. And also there's the nafs, the desires. And these waswasa originate from these two sources. And they originate at that time when a human being starts to practice the deen, starts to implement the deen. And if he's not thinking about practicing the deen, if he doesn't ponder over practicing, then nafs and shaitan, they sit back cool, relaxed. They have no need to do waswasa. But if a person starts to make effort, he embarks on the path of Islam, he says, okay, I need to practice the deen, then their meter, it boosts high. Nafs and shaitan. Then they go into overdrive. And they start doing work. Now shaitan, one of his sort of special tools or weapons is that he says that this man who's practicing, I need to stop him, disturb him, I need to diminish his enjoyment, his desire, I need to diminish it. And most of all, he wants to make a person take a U-turn from the deen. A U-turn from the deen. He doesn't want to see the person to see the light of the deen. Because a person embarks on the deen to attain light and guidance. So shaitan dims that light. He reduces that light. He reduces the intensity of that light. And he puts waswasa into the mind and heart of the person. Anyway, this is a big topic. Waswasa, whispering of shaitan, and the nafs. Now when a person starts to practice the deen, starts to pray salah, starts to do dhikr, recitation of Quran, he does all other deeds and amal, for that person there's a path due to which he becomes happy and content. And also on top of that, he thinks that I want everything to go smoothly, nicely. I'm practicing the deen, so I want all my worldly affairs at the same time to be smooth, because I'm practicing the deen, I'm following Allah's deen. Now here shaitan instills a whisper, waswasa, into the mind, because this is a majlis, a gathering of rectification, improvement, what I've heard from my pious predecessors, myself I've heard or I've read. So we sit and we discuss these points and then we do dhikr after that. This is the purpose. So we talk about different things here on a regular basis. And these are mostly spiritual points, internal points, what maladies and diseases we have inside. So this is a big disease, big problem, especially for those who are saliks, murid, students, those who are practicing the deen or trying to practice the deen. For those students, this is a very severe illness. I've seen many people take a U-turn and turn back, become murtad, renegades, they leave the deen. Totally, they, after traveling a long way, they go back. Because shaitan, he has strength, he has power, he's cunning, he's clever. That's why a person goes to the gatherings of the awliyaullah, the mashaykh. When he sits there, Allah Ta'ala puts ilham into their hearts. And the awliyaullah, they speak good. And then we discuss those and we repeat them, what we've learned before, so that we can increase our taqwa, fear of Allah. So when a person starts to practice the deen, mashallah, he says, I'm practicing, I'm pious, people are praising him, oh, he's praying salah now, he's deendar, he's following Allah's path, and they salute him, they praise him. And then shaitan puts a thought, a whisper into that person's brain. That, okay, I'm doing ibadah, I'm worshipping, but is my ibadah being accepted by Allah? Is there any worth of, any value of my ibadah? Is Allah actually happy with me? So he thinks these thoughts. He says, there's a problem here. So this thought sort of comes slowly into his mind. Then shaitan gives a dalil. He gives a proof. It's a dangerous proof to that person. He says that you think you're practicing, you're pious, and Allah's accepting your du'as. Then you tell me, why your du'as not being accepted all across the full spectrum? That what you're asking Allah for, he's not giving to you. Your worldly affairs are negative. You've got issues. Yeah? And your business, it didn't run before. It's not even running now. If you've got a shop, your turnover is low. What's the point of you doing ibadah? Your ibadah is defective. Allah's not happy with you. You're not good enough. So then he makes that person slip or stumble. He says, this is true actually, yaar. I've been practicing for a while now. I'm doing all the amal I've been told to do. And it's written, if I do this, I'll get this reward. And from this amal, I should get this reward and barakat and blessings. And those people who don't even pray salah, their business is flourishing. They're rich. They've got money. So this waswasa grabs the person, this thought. So here, there's a very big point that we need to understand. The point here is that in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, in the vision of Allah Ta'ala, in the court of Allah, this is not the standard. That if Allah is happy, He gives us worldly ease. Our worldly factors become simple and our turnover increases and our du'as all get accepted. Allah says, this is not the standard that proves that am I happy with a person or not. That's another point, Allah says. Another point. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him. He's the Shaykh of the Mashaykh of the Arab and the non-Arabs. Somebody asked him this question. The Hazrat, is Allah happy with me or not? Because I do so many amal, deeds, but my du'as are not getting accepted. I don't understand what's going on. How do I know if Allah's happy with me? So he gave the answer, beautiful answer and statement, very weighty. And the Mashaykh after that have repeated this message for many times over, that this is not Allah's criteria. If he's happy with someone, he gives them worldly success and money and wealth and turnover and businesses, etc. No. For example, subhanAllah, if there's a king, and if you go to the king's court, and he's happy with you, yeah, and because you've gone there, you gave him a gift, or you said something nice to him, so he says to his ministers, oh, I like this man, I like him, come tomorrow again to my court. Come again. Will everybody congratulate him? They will, won't they? Oh, the king likes you. He's called you again. So the king of the king of the kings, he has got this standard as well. Subhanallah. Allah's given you the tawfiq. You prayed salah. After praying salah, the next salah, until that time, Allah protected you and made you pray the next salah. He made you pray the next salah. So he stated your second salah. Allah calling you back to his court, it proves that your first salah was accepted. That's why he called you back to the second one. Yeah, Allah is happy with you, with your salah. And then when you praised him, when you prayed to him, in between, this is your standard now. That why are you not succeeding in the world? Allah says, forget all of that. This is my standard of acceptance and pleasure. If I was unhappy with you, displeased with you, I wouldn't even let you enter my home. I won't even let you think about praying. If you're unhappy with somebody, if you don't like somebody comes to your home, you don't like him, will you say to him, come back again, bro, I'll give you tea. You say, oh, go, don't come back. You'll say in your heart, don't come back. Oh, I don't know how I stumbled or crossed paths with him. Hopefully he won't come back again. We say this, don't we? We feel this, but the next man who comes, Nayyar, you're my friend, you're my friend. Come back, we'll have tea, we'll have a chit-chat. Please come back again. You're going to come today? Can you come tomorrow? Why? Because you like him. So you invite him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether your amal are broken down and not good enough, but Allah ta'ala likes you. So he invites you again to the amal, to the deeds. And he's happy with you. He's pleased with you, totally happy with you. And if it happens beyond this, that you start to do an amal, an action, and due to the amal, Allah Ta'ala, He, for example, He brings you more towards the deen. Not dunya. Allah Ta'ala is not going to be happy with your turnover, your money, your wealth, or your good new clothes, or your different businesses. Allah has no link with these things. This is not happiness. The whole dunya does this, everyone in the world. Allah is happy at that time when in the morning you come to Allah's home and you bow and prostrate. That's when Allah is happy. My Rabb has called me, invited me. I need to go to his home, his court. So this action, then everything in the world, what you've got, this one action of praising Allah and prostrating to Allah is better than the whole world and what it contains. So that's not the sign that Allah is pleased with him because he's got wealth. Rather, this is the sign that Allah is happy with this second individual who comes to his home to praise him and pray to him. And then, on top of that, this standard, oh, I did dua, Allah's not accepting my duas, I'm not getting A, B, C in the world. Allah's given you a guarantee beforehand in advance that when I give you the tawfiq, that I also give the tawfiq to my servants, otherwise I don't give anyone the tawfiq to ask me for something. Allah says, it can never be that I say to someone, ask from me. Tawfiq I give to that person to raise his hands and beg to me, Allah says, subhanAllah. That person will be idhnillah, if he can raise his hands, I permit him, otherwise his hands wouldn't even raise to ask from me. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't come towards dua. if he wanted to, he couldn't come to my dhikr al-asr. It doesn't matter how many desires he has, he can't do hajj. It doesn't matter how many desires he has, he cannot go to my home, to my masjid. The people have masjids near their homes, they don't come to the masjid. They don't have the tawfiq capability. And someone's far away and he gets to the masjid, he does dhikr. He remembers Allah because Allah Ta'ala instilled that desire in his heart. But if he doesn't have the desire, then Allah is unhappy with that person. He's not happy with that person. Allah sealed that heart and he sealed his home from that person. He's rejected that person. That you can't come to my home. You can't come to worship me. But the person Allah's calling, inviting, Allah's bringing him fares once, twice, third time, zikr once, twice, third, fourth, fifth. Allah's making that person his lover. Allah's making that person his beloved. And we forget that Allah's created means for me to come. We say, Allah, I've got problems, issues, distress, worries. Allah says, forget that. Your Rabb is calling you. Allah, you're calling me? Come, let's go. Allah says, Fafirru ila Allah. Hasten to me. Hasten to me. I'm calling you. Yeah? Allah says, there are du'as as well you can recite. But the du'a, if Allah doesn't accept your du'as, doesn't mean Allah's not happy with you. Allah says, when you ask me, I give to you. Whenever have I rejected your du'as, Allah says, I give to my own, and I give to the strangers, I give to those who believe, and those who don't believe, but you are mine. Allah says, you are within that inner circle. Why will I not open the doors to you? I'll give to you as soon as you ask, but I'll give according to my wisdom, and my timing. I will give according to my wisdom, my timing. How will I give? When will I give? How much will I give? Allah says, that's my choice. That's my choice. But I will definitely give to you. Definitely, maybe I'll give to you immediately, maybe you'll ask and I'll give to you within seconds. Or, Allah says, I delay, I'll give after many months, or not even afterwards. Then what happens? I won't give to you during this life, I'll give in the hereafter, Allah says. And you'll see in the akhirah what I will give to you. Then you'll say, Allah, it's good you didn't give to me in the dunya. It's good, Allah, you delayed it and stopped it and gave it to me in the hereafter. Because in the hereafter, you'll get it forever. Those things, if I go in the dunya, in a few days, those things I'm asking, begging Allah, they'll finish. I'll ask Allah for money, a job, the job will go. All these things come and go. They'll have a limit. But Allah, you waited, you delayed, you stopped it, and you gave it to me thereafter. And that will never end. It will never finish. Alhamdulillah, Allah. So either Allah gives immediately, or with His wisdom, He delays and gives better than that. And if He doesn't give in this dunya, then Allah does another action in place of the dua, which is a greater result. That your problems, issues, distresses that are about to come in the world, they are coming, the adabs. Allah says, I stop them. I don't give you what you ask for, but I stop the adab. So your du'as are accepted beyond accepted. So don't say Allah is not accepting my du'as, or Allah I'm asking, I do ibadah, whatever I ask for you need to give to me. Then Allah says, this is not ibadah. Then you're laying down conditions, Allah says, and this is why a person fails. When a person goes towards Allah, starts worshipping, praying, man arada Allah al-akhirah, Allah says, and you make the intention, what should be your intention when you're practicing? That everything I'm doing, Allah, is for a purpose, for a reason. I'm doing it for your sake, Allah, so my akhirah can become better. The mashayikh al-karam, the pious predecessors, when you learn from their company, when you go to their company, the sohbat of a sheikh, before you do anything, what does the sheikh do? He increases the yaqeen, solidifies the certainty of the student, and he instills a plant in the heart of the student. He puts the yaqeen, the certainty of the hereafter in the heart. We have no certainty. I don't know why I'm praying or doing amal. That's why the shaitan whispers. But when I have yaqeen, I'm going to die. Hereafter is a reality and everything's going to happen. Then Allah Ta'ala says that when you start to practice preparing for the hereafter, then that amal of yours, that deed of yours, Allah says, what will it be? What will it transform to? Then your amal will become such that you'll make niyyah for the hereafter. And the amal will be in which situation? That it will always be according to Allah's desire, according to Allah's criteria, according to Sharia and Sunnah, and you will not come below that standard. And definitely that person, wahuwa mu'min, he will be the mu'min, Allah says, fa'ulaika kana sa'i mashkura. Allah Ta'ala says, that person, look at the statement, that when you practice without any preconditions, without looking for rewards, then Allah says, that how can it be that your du'as and requests are not accepted? They're accepted beyond accepting. SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala says, your amal, your deeds are accepted. Allah says, I'm happy with you. I'm pleased with you. So this is what we need to learn. Don't go below that. Don't look for immediate dua acceptance. Allah says that you've got your amal. I will accept your duas. But leave it to me when I give to you. I'm happy. I'm accepting your deeds. I'm elevating your rank, your status. Yes, but there's one danger. That Allah Ta'ala gives you the capability to practice. Ability to practice, it gives you ability to do dhikr, recite Quran, pray salah, do good virtuous nawafil deeds, and then as you're progressing, you stop. Then you start coming, then you stop coming. Then sometimes you pray, sometimes you don't pray. You have gaps in your ibadah. Now this action, musalsal, you're practicing, who's happy? Rahman, Allah is happy. He's pleased. Yes? And if you do sin upon sin upon sin, you do one sin, then you repeat that sin, then you repeat that sin again, then you repeat that sin again, there's a difference in your deen. You do one good deen, you repeat the amal, then you repeat the amal, who's happy? Allah, Ar-Rahman is happy. But if you do sin and then repeat sin and go downhill, then who's happy? Shaitan is happy at that time. So that happiness, if shaitan, if you make him pleased, I sin again, then I commit that sin again, then I repeat it, then I commit the sins again, then who's becoming happy? Shaitan is becoming happy. So in here, we'll get the dunya, business will be flourishing, money, wealth, wife's happy, children are happy. This is all istidraj. This is a mirage. If we think that due to worldly so-called luxuries that we're happy, this will all end. This is not true happiness. This is not true bliss. Who's telling us this? The Quran says, material things are temporary, like a bubble, they'll burst. Fir'aun was given wealth and power, authority for a few days, years. People who had no iman, they got luxuries and worldly rewards, so called. But this is not happiness. Happiness doesn't lie within these things. With shaitan, you are pleasing him with worldly luxuries. But those amal Allah has given you the tawfiq, if you consistently practice them, you don't stop, you don't hesitate, you don't do a U-turn, then Allah is happy with you, ongoing. So waswasa, don't let waswasa come into your minds and hearts. So 2-3 things, we get a lesson, sabak, that alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, doesn't matter what circumstances you are facing in life, worldly, whatever's in your destiny is written, how much money you're going to earn, how much you're going to save, your rizq, the problems in your life, the worries in your life, they're written in your destiny. And we will keep on doing dua for prosperity. We should ask Allah for improvement, and the duas are being accepted. But don't rely on these things. At the same time, if Allah has given you tawfiq to do amal, don't do a U-turn on those things, because the biggest danger on your amal is that you'll make a mistake. That if Allah has given you an amal, that He's given me and you, and we put obstacles in that, we leave it. When a person leaves an amal that he's been doing for so long, then Allah says, that is the cause of my displeasure. That's the cause of my displeasure. Don't start doing amal and leave. For example, we do dhikr. We remember Allah, we try to remember Allah. Allah has given us the tawfiq to do dhikr, ability. We leave it, oh, I'm not enjoying it. I don't feel good. My heart doesn't feel like doing it. That objective I started doing dhikr for, it's not being fulfilled. What's that objective? Worldly goods. So that's the sign that Allah is now unhappy with that person. Allah is now releasing that connection, that chain. And then that person's zawal starts. His maghrib starts, his sunset. When you hear someone say, I don't feel like doing dhikr. Oh, I can't do this. I don't feel like it. High class amal Allah has given to that person. Remember, those people are successful, my brothers. Always those people are successful that when they embark on doing a good deed, Allah has given the tawfiq, ability. For example, in this majlis today, we have come to this gathering. Many faces are new, they keep changing, someone comes, someone leaves. Today there are new faces, so this is a big message. Who has brought these people? Who's brought them? Allah has brought them. Doesn't matter how they came, they're tired, they didn't want to come, but who brought them? Allah has brought them. Allah has brought you. So now count how many brothers have come to this gathering. From tens of thousands of people who are out there on the street. Has Allah brought them? No. So where has Allah brought you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I brought you to that place today, tonight, right now. Where you are sat now. When a person stands, no man stands empty handed without forgiveness. Everybody leaves forgiven. Forgiven. If you have got yaqeen, then die, Allah says, and you'll see. That when you leave this majlis, if you were to die immediately, all the sins you bring before in advance of this gathering, due to the barakah of this gathering, Allah says, I bring you, I invite you, only those people I bring who I am favorable to, who I like. So those brothers who come here today who are new, when you don't think, oh, I just came here, I just stumbled on the gathering. No, this is Allah's love, the test of Allah's love, that Allah says, despite your sins, the sins you are drowning in, but how Allah loves that servant of His, that He brings him to His home, to a pure, clean majlis, and Allah makes him do the amal, that despite the blackness of his sins, Allah says to the angels, write him in His book, that I've forgiven all of his sins. SubhanAllah. Now in the majlis you're sitting, And then you leave and you say, oh, I don't feel like coming again. I didn't enjoy it. So now this is a message for us sitting here and the older brothers who've been coming for a long time, that this is now our standard. That this majlis Allah has brought us here, seated us here. Allah has given us the capability to come here. Now it's our duty. It's our duty that this dhikr majlis, we should not reject it. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. It's not strictness. It's not being firm. Allah's not being firm or saying that I'm making you trapped or I'm chaining you to the gathering. No, no, no. If we are grateful in reality that Allah, despite my sins, you forgive me, then we should say, Allah, just like tonight on the night of Jummah, you brought me here. Please Allah, bring me again next Thursday night, Friday, the night of Jummah. Then Allah says, then you'll be included amongst those people who are grateful. So these are the people who are successful. So when the next night of Jummah will come, Shaitan's thorns and nettles and his traps will come. He'll knock on your door. Oh, where are you going? No, 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 sit down. Have some tea, relax. Leave the gathering today. Oh, you've sneezed, you're ill, you're ill. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Oh, so who's the successful person? You say, Yar, last Friday night I promised to Allah you forgive me. Next Friday night, Allah, please call me again, I'm going to come. So say to Shaitan, I'm going to dhikr, you come as well. Yes, so invite him as well. Could be in the form of a human being, somebody who's taking you off track. So when you break those chains and shackles and come again next Friday night, then subhanallah, Allah says, now you've become a true human being. So that, not just that, but I'll call you before next Friday. You won't just come next Friday night. So Allah will give you barakat in your heart, the barakat, the blessings, the virtues. And then when you adhere to this path, subhanallah, it will increase, increase, increase. And Allah Ta'ala will continue to open the path for that person. Different doors, different paths. Because he's grateful. Once Allah calls him, he comes himself the next time. Himself. Come to Salah, for example. Let's take example. Some brother calls you to Salah. You say, I prayed one Salah. Allah, you made me come. I wasn't capable. Next Salah, come again to the next Salah. Then come again. When you make this habitual repetition, then inshallah, within no time, you'll become habitual in Salah. Without nasiha, someone giving you dawah, no one will give you tabligh. Automatically, the connection with Allah will be made. Allah called you once. Allah, I'm grateful. Allah, I'll come again. You brought me Allah, I'm going to come the next time. To be grateful. So Allah, you've come to dhikr tonight. So what's the second step? Those who Allah has given the habit to do dhikr, they do dhikr, dhikr, then they jump and go back. 5 steps back. Allah is so unhappy with them. All the rules Allah gives to them, who has given to them, Allah starts to take them back. Their heart becomes black and dark. And the seal comes onto the heart, their padlocks. And their conditions start changing. Not this, that the business shuts down, business flops or counting money stops. No, Allah has no link to that. That carries on, that even increases. Allah has no link with the wealth of the dunya. The spiritual connection from within, his heart starts to become brown, then black and rusty and padlocked. An ajeeb circumstance overtakes that person. His feeling, spirituality will diminish and disappear. So this is life, my friends. This is life Allah has prescribed to us. We should live our lives like this. You get a chance, one chance, don't reject it. Build on it. Build on it. If Allah gives you a chance in life, never go on a U-turn. Grow that. Build on it. Build on it. We'll do this, brothers? Inshallah. Say inshallah. Don't reject Allah's favors. Allah, where was I before? In the darkness. But if you turn your face and turn your back, Allah's deen, His rewards, and you turn your back, you'll be destroyed. Barbadi. Everything will be broken. He thinks, I'm fine, I'm okay. He's got nothing to his name. He's free with the connection from Allah. No barakat, no blessings. Nothing. In none of his life steps or actions, he'll be a failure. A failure. Allah Ta'ala's favor, he's rejected. So every good deed Allah has given you the tawfiq to do, always accept it. It's come from Allah. Embrace it. Then you repeat it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you continue to become pious and upright. And du'as, if physically the du'as are not accepted, don't think they're not. Every single du'as is accepted. Shaitan will tell you, your du'as not accepted. Why are you praying? Your du'as not accepted. What's the point of doing dhikr? Allah's not accepting your du'a. Why are you going to Allah's house? Say, forget that, Shaitan. My du'as are being accepted. But it depends where and when Allah's calling me to His home. He's happy with me. He's happy with me. So then Shaitan says, why are your life circumstances not getting better and more prosperous? Say, yeah, this is Allah's hikmah. It's not in my destiny. It's not in my destiny. My life is getting better. But there's no wealth in my destiny. For me is better what Allah is not giving to me. And I consider that better, that what Allah is not giving to me. But my understanding doesn't go to that level. For example, a child who drinks milk, and he puts his hand towards the chapati or bread. Mother takes his hand away from the bread, chapati. Why? Because she knows that he cannot digest this bread. His stomach's, he's young, he's a baby. We say, oh, mother's a dhalim. But mother can never be a dhalim. How can she oppress the child? No, she knows out of her love what is better for the child. If he eats the bread, this too weighty, he'll become ill. So what does she do? She takes the bread away, and in place of that, she gives him the child better, what the child can digest the milk. Subhanallah. The mother knows what's better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't give to us what is bad for us. He'll give to us what He knows is good for us. Allah, give me this X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D. But I'm the servant of Allah. I'm His creation. Why should Allah give me? I'm asking Allah things instead of Quran, dhikr, salah, ibadah. Allah says, I won't give you those things. That you are loving those things that will give you punishment after death. Allah says that tomorrow after death, these consequences of the sins will be very severe. You won't be able to digest. Allah, give me wealth. Allah says, you won't be able to digest the wealth. That you won't be able to digest the money, excess wealth. I won't give you these things, Allah says. I won't. So here, what should we do? Ask, definitely, be ambitious, have desires, and good desires. But when you don't get those things, then say, Allah, I'm grateful that you aren't giving to me what I like. You'll give to me what you like to give to me. And I will embrace that and accept that. I'll accept that, because I know that why will you give me what's not good for me? When I ask if it's something not good for me or wrong and I don't have a need for that in my life, then I reject that. Then I shun that, I have no need for that. So brothers, all the waswasas end there and then, problems disappear there and then. If you don't get something, your cool sigh, oh, forget that what I was asking for. Allah doesn't want me to have it. Alhamdulillah. And He forgets it. This is the dua masoor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, Subhanallah. Give me those things, Allah. Give me those things, Allah. Those items that you are pleased with, that you are happy with. And make me happy with what you've already given to me. Make me happy with that. And make my heart happy with that. Allah says it. I'm also happy with you, my servant. If you don't get it, fine. And you're happy with that. I'm very happy with you, my servant. Because you're content. You're gonna, what a great life, my friends. But we're not going to get it. And then we start beating our chest. We start crying. We start leaving Allah. And fuzool, wasteful talk. And I'm not going to pray Salah. There's nothing in Islam. Many people, na'uzubillah. Why? Because they don't get what they want in the world. That even before death a person's dying. No, my brothers. Allah's preference and decision, live according to that. If Allah gives you dawah, calls you to His deen, His home, do good amal, repeat them again. If Allah gives you tawfiq, don't try to leave the amal. If Allah gives you an amal, you do it. Example, I prayed salah. I did dhikr in the morning. Then after that, I don't come to the majlis. Then don't be satisfied with that. Shaitan's grabbed you. He's diverted you. Then you started to do those actions that cause the displeasure of Allah. Cry to Allah. Do istighfar. Lament. Repent. Allah, why didn't you call me again? Allah, I've made a mistake. Allah, you didn't invite me again. Allah, you were the one who called me. Allah, please call me again. Allah, why did you shut the door on my face? Why didn't you call me again? This is our crying and our repenting. Then the angels will cry, that Allah, he's regretted. The angels will start crying, Allah, please call him again. He's crying, he's gone mad. He loves you. Allah, how did he leave the salah? He's regretting. How did Allah leave the next majlis of dhikr? Why have you taken me far from your remembrance? Why have you taken such a great action? Allah, what's my mistake? And this is what we need to think about. That Allah is displeased with me. Subhanallah, this is how we should think. Then Allah, with love and shafqat, He'll pull you again towards Himself. Not this, oh, I've left dhikr. Oh, what's the difference? It doesn't matter. I'll leave a few more gatherings. I'll go sometime in the future when I've got a mood to go. No. What difference does it make if I don't pray or do ibadah or left this? No. Don't think like this. Your heart should be broken. You should be crying. You should feel sadness. You should be sobbing. How did I leave this amal? Must be that Allah's unhappy with me. Must be that Allah's dismayed. Allah, you're unhappy with me. Allah, you're going far from me. Don't say, oh, today my shop was not running. Allah's unhappy with me. Oh, my turnover's gone down. I ask Allah for something I didn't get in the world. Allah's unhappy with me. This is not the standard. Allah, I ask you for this X, Y, Z, and you're unhappy with me. That's why I've got a puncture in my car. I said to Allah, I want a warehouse with stock so I can get big savings. But Allah's not giving me that. Allah's unhappy with me. No, this is not the case. This is the wrong standard, the wrong criteria. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Is this the link with Allah we have? Allah says that if I called you for salah and you didn't come to pray salah, that's where we can say that Allah's unhappy with us. Allah, you didn't call me. I've done something wrong. Why didn't you call me again, Allah? You didn't give me the tawfiq. This is the difference in the thinking and the crying of a mu'min and a worldly person. One person's crying, my turnover's gone down. The other brother's crying, oh, I left my salah. I didn't pray on time. What a big difference. Big difference in it. So both things are within us. Somebody's a sinner. MashaAllah, we are all in this same boat. No one is here who's a pious wali. But we need to inculcate that feeling in our hearts that Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who selects what He gives. He'll give the best. If we ask, if we don't get, don't go backwards. If we stop, then we should regret and cry. And those things that made us stop, we should shun them in the world. Reject that thing. I stopped praying to Allah and going to Allah due to this worldly item. Shun the item. That sahabi did that, didn't he? He was praying salah, and he looked at the bird, one of the birds in his bag, in his garden, like, I have a big business. I'm praying salah, I'm looking at the stock and my customers, or trucks coming, deliveries coming, my thoughts are wandering, and I've got the niyyah for salah. And I'm looking at my business, workplace, premises, counting the money. Happens to me, worldly person. That's what I do, mashallah. You are pious brothers. So I look here and there, I've got this, this is my stock, my mal, my money. So he was a sahabi in a big garden. He was an estate owner. Estate owner. So that bird was flying. He suddenly saw the bird had distracted him in his garden. And straight away he repented. He turned to Allah, what's happened here? Straight away he went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This whole garden I give sadaqah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't need this. It distracted me, my attention from my salah. Subhanallah, how great the Sahaba were. Huh? This is how great they were. And this is the love of Allah. This is the love of Allah. If something, even a pin, is an obstacle in between you and Allah, dhikr, gatherings of dhikr, ibadah, worship, and the thousands and millions of rewards I was to get, and I'm rejecting that, I'm delaying that, and I'm following my desires, and I'm running after the dunya. No. Say no, what should a person do? Regret. Why have I done this? And if something's an obstruction, then I give it away. I don't need this. Because it's a distraction from Allah. It's stopping me getting to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us such a beautiful life and allow us to pass Allah's life. Tell me, is there any restriction here? If we're in this country or we live in another country, I can't practice the deen. Is there any barrier here to us practicing? Is there? No barrier. No obstacle. Yeah, we make excuses. I can't practice the deen. It's too hard. Now all these points of the deen, I've told you, high class amal. Where can you see in your environment that somebody's stopping you? Physically, or someone says to you, how dare you pray salah? Has anyone told you? Does anyone, a policeman, stop you that don't pray salah? Has anyone stopped you coming to the masjid the morning fajr time to come? Does anyone stop you? No. Is anybody know, in this country it's hard, how can I do parda? We cry and complain, it's too difficult. How can we bring our children up Islamically? Nothing's difficult. Nothing's difficult. Allah's given us such a deen that the whole dunya, Allah said, "Qul siru fil ard," wander around the world, see, observe, learn, and reapply the good practice around the world, wherever you are. Practice and teach others and guide them, those who are ignorant. Bring them to the deen as well, pull them to the deen. But we ourselves drown ourselves on the other side of the pool. We haven't even come off the plane steps. Oh, it's too hard. It's too difficult. Oh, I can't go out like this. It's impossible. And Allah Akbar, we totally go 180 degrees U-turn. We've just come off the plane. We're standing. Oh, don't do that in this country. Don't do that, you stupid man. Oh, they'll grab you. They'll grab you. Yeah? But he doesn't even know nothing, that stupid person. That Allah Akbar, we think, is he a Muslim coming off the plane? You know, he's not. He's some weird person. Yes, this is nafs that is attacking us at that time. Come, let's all promise that life has no guarantees. This is a blessed night. Why is it blessed? The night of Jummah. Not that money will be distributed or estates will be distributed here when we come. Or you're going to get worldly goods and luxuries. SubhanAllah, what will we get here on the night of Jummah? Allah will give you good news that I've forgiven all of you. I've forgiven all of you. Is there any greater blessed night than this for us in our life, my friends? Is there? Tell me. So all of us in this blessed night, we should promise to Allah, Allah, I promise, whatever you've told us today, whatever we've heard and is coming to our minds, Allah, make us like that, please. Please, Allah, make us like that. Amal, deeds, and make us love your deeds and put love in our hearts for your deen. Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen.
الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر كلنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطنا وعملنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اكتهاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.